We continue our discussion with regards to Waqf. And before the break, we spoke to Zainul Kaji from Awqaf South Africa, and he spoke about the Waqf workshop that will be coming up in December in Cape Town. Now joining us on the line, Mufti Shafiq Jakura from Darul Ihsan. He'll be talking about Waqf, explaining the concept and you know how we can tap into this beautiful concept of Islam and revive it today within our current context that we're living in. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to the listeners of Radio Islam as well.
Mufti Saab, we trust you are well this evening. How's everything in Durban? We understand that there's been some rain.
Alhamdulillah, Allah make the rain beneficial for all of us all around the country. We really need it.
At the outset, Mufti Saab, perhaps for the layman, how would you define the concept of Waqf in simple terms for one and all to understand?
So for one and all to understand, Waqf basically means Waqafa Yaqifu. One of the meanings of that in the Arabic language means to stop. And basically what it means in the terms of when we're speaking about Waqf or endowments, it will basically mean to stop wealth from changing hands, to stop something of value from changing hands. That's what it would mean. Because wealth or mal, property, anything of value, its intrinsic quality is that it changes hands all the time. In Arabic, they say, in some of the fiqh kitabs in Arabic, they say, al-malu ghadin wa ra'ihun. Wealth comes in the morning, it leaves in the evening. So it's all the time, it's moving. But when that wealth is made waqf, then you stop it from changing hands. Basically what it means is, you transfer the ownership of that into the ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you identify certain beneficiaries for that particular asset or that particular wealth, and that those beneficiaries benefit from the fruits of that waqf. So just as an example, a very simple example so that the layman can understand, it is, for example, I make a tree waqf. So I cease to become the owner, to remain the owner of that tree. The owner of that tree is now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I specify that the beneficiaries of this tree are going to be the poor and needy of a certain area, for example. So the poor and needy of that area now benefit from that tree. What it means is that they benefit from the tree. They can't cut the tree off and take it away and use it as firewood. Rather, what they would do is they would benefit from the fruits of that tree. So long as that tree keeps bearing fruits, the poor and needy are entitled in terms of my waqf to benefit from that tree then. So this is a very basic meaning with regards to the concept of waqf.
Yes, now it has been an ongoing aspect, waqf, and tell us about waqf even before the advent of Islam.
Before the advent of Islam, waqf was very much restricted to places of worship where people would designate certain areas, certain assets for worship. People would then practice their worship or supplicate worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those specific places of worship. And the first such waqf could be attributed, that means the first such waqf before Islam, before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at least, could be attributed to the waqf of the Holy Kaaba, because that was a waqf which was specified and segregated specifically for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he built the Kaaba and he declared it a place of worship. And it was a musalla where the Arabs would come and pray, and not only the Arabs, even people from all around the area would come, would perform their hajj, would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over there. So that is very much an example of a place of worship which was endowed, which ceased to be the ownership of any one individual or human being. It was the ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the same would apply to many places of worship with regards to other religious denominations like the Christians, like others, sects, they had their places of worship, which they did not deem to be belonging to any particular individual or human being. It was they took it out of the ownership of an individual, and it belonged to it was for purposes of worship without it belonging to anyone, basically.
Then we move on to the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are some of the works that took place at that time, and with regards to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself?
In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were many awqaf, and in fact this whole concept of waqf actually developed quite significantly during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself endowed and created awqaf for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were also awqaf and waqf, awqaf is actually the plural of waqf. So the listeners, if I'm saying the word awqaf, it refers to the plural of waqf. So besides those awqaf which were created or endowed for the purposes of worship, there were also awqaf which were created for the purposes of benefiting the general public in aspects besides just making available to them a place where they can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also looking after their physical needs. And Islam encouraged this a lot. There were verses of the Quran Sharif that were revealed. For example, there was a verse of the Quran Sharif that was revealed, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that you will never ever attain or acquire piety until you spend from those things that you love. And we'll see a little later as I explain, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they very much regarded this and they took upon themselves to segregate certain assets of theirs and prevent them from changing ownership and make them waqf and let the fruit and benefits of these assets go to the poor and needy. And they very much regarded this as this verse as encouragement to do that. Then there are ahadith and narrations of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث, that when Ibn Adam, when man dies, then all his actions come to an end except for three actions. They remain, they continue to benefit him even after a person has passed away and has left this temporary abode of the dunya. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sadaqatun jariyatun. The first of them is a sadaqah which continues even after the person's death. And wa ilmun yuntafa'u bihi, and knowledge that people have benefited from, and they pass it on to others and others pass it on to others. So this person benefits from this. And the third thing which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that is waladun salihun yad'u lahu, a pious child who prays for his parents. So that is also a form of sadaqah jariyah. But the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they very much considered waqf to be an avenue to acquire sadaqatun jariyah. So even after they had passed away, this was such an avenue that they could ensure that good deeds or benefit continues to reach them in alam-e-barzakh, in the qabr, in the hereafter, even after they have passed away. And they achieved this objective through waqf. Nevertheless, the first waqf in Islam, which was a religious waqf, could be attributed to the masjid of Quba, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established whilst he was making hijrat or migrating from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. He stopped for a few days at a place called Quba when he was in the hospitality. He was in the ziyafat of Kulthum ibn al-Hadam, the sheikh and the sheikh, the elder of the Bani Amr ibn Auf tribe. And then after that, the waqf that can be attributed after this waqf of Quba, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even speaks about in the Holy Quran, لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ, it was a masjid that was established on the principles of taqwa from the very first day. So this was the first waqf. The next waqf was a few weeks after that, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina Munawwara, the place where his she camel knelt down and sat there. That was the place where the land of two orphans was there. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu purchased that land, and it was made into Masjid al-Nabawi, or what we know as the Haram of Medina Munawwara today, the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these were two waqfs, which were religious awqaf, which were established during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, there were awqaf which were established in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of charitable waqfs, in terms of waqfs which yielded fruits and benefits. And these benefits were passed on to the poor and needy. And the first waqf which could be attributed to the days of Islam in terms of these awqaf or charitable waqfs are concerned is the waqf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of seven orchards in Medina Munawwara, there were seven orchards in Medina Munawwara which belonged to a Jew by the name of Mukhayriq. And this Jew was he had intense love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he even fought on the side of the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud, and he said that in usibtu ay qutiltu fa amwali li Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yada'ahu Allahu haythu arahu Allah, or yada'uha haythu arahu Allah, that if I am killed in the Battle of Uhud, then I wish that my wealth must be, these seven orchards of mine must be given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may do with it as he pleases. In other words, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to place this wealth, then I am happy that it is placed or it goes into that avenue. So it is narrated that he fought on the side of the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud, and he was killed during the Battle of Uhud whilst he was still a Jew. He didn't accept Islam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Mukhayriq khayru yahudiyin. Mukhayriq is the best of the Jews. Nevertheless, thereafter, based on his bequest, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took possession of these orchards, and fatasaddaqa biha ay waqafaha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made these seven orchards waqf. In other words, what he did, he was, he stopped them from being transferred or being sold or going into anyone's inheritance. Rather, they remained as they were, and the fruits that these orchards would yield would go to the poor and the needy. So that was in as far as the waqf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned. Thereafter, there is the famous waqf of Hazrat Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the verses لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ were revealed. And he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I have a wonderful garden that is called Bir Ha, and I wish that it must be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him that ij'alhu fi qarabatik, that let it be, let the fruits and beneficiaries of this, let the beneficiaries of this garden be your close relatives. So this was the first example in terms of the development of waqf, that the fruits of waqf were now going to family members. Thereafter, the waqf, the famous waqf of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he acquired very beautiful and wonderful, a wonderful piece of land in Khaybar. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, inni asabtu ardan bi Khaybar, lam usab malan qattu anfasa indi minhu, fama ta'muruni. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again it was around the time when this verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed, which was sort of encouraging one to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and saying that none of you can ever attain piety until you spend of that which you love. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have acquired a piece of land in Khaybar. I have never acquired land which was better than this piece of land. What do you tell me to do after this verse of the Quran Sharif has been revealed? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that in shi'ta habista aslaha wa tasaddaqta bi thamaratiha. That, oh, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, if you wish, what you can do is you can hold back the asal. In other words, you prevent the corpus of the land from being transferred, and whatever fruits come from this land, whatever the yields, what this land yields in terms of fruits and benefits, you can pass that on to the poor, to the needy, to whoever you wish. So this is exactly what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. He made waqf of the land. It could not be sold anymore. It could not be gifted to anyone. It could no longer be inherited by anyone. In other words, the land itself ceased to be part of his ownership. And he would give the fruits of this land to the poor and the needy and the travelers, the wayfarers, to guests. He had stipulated all of this. In fact, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did this in his lifetime, during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he had not recorded it on any piece of paper. It was only during his khilafat later on that he recorded this, so it could be known and recorded. And he did it in the presence of Muhajireen and Ansar, and he wrote this waqf out, who the beneficiaries are going to be, who is going to be the trustee of this waqf, who is going to look after it. He said that during the course of his lifetime, he is going to be the trustee. He is going to look after, maintain this waqf. He is going to pass on the benefits. In fact, one sahabi says that I saw Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu giving out the fruits of this garden himself to the poor and needy. And he said after his demise, then the trusteeship of this waqf is going to go to Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was his daughter and the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother of the believers. And after her demise, then the trusteeship will be from the elders of the family of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. In fact, Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the famous companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said after this waqf became known amongst the Muhajireen and Ansar, he said, I do not know of any Muhajir or Ansar Sahabi who had wealth and did not make waqf of this wealth. He had something because they realized the importance of doing waqf. Then another waqf in the time of the Sahaba was the waqf of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he purchased the well of Rumah. It's the famous incident that when the Muslims had come to Medina Munawwara, and they were being prevented from sweet water. There was very brackish water in Medina Munawwara at that time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba that مَنْ يَشْتَرِي بِالرُّومَ فَيَجْعَلُ دِلْوَهُ فِيهِ كَدِلَاءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who will purchase the well of Rumah and make his bucket in it like the bucket of the Muslims? In other words, who will purchase the well of Rumah and he can also benefit from it, but the vast majority of beneficiaries will be the Muslim community. And Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu went ahead and he purchased the well of Rumah, and it was waqf for the Muslim community. And those who visit Medina Munawwara can even visit this well. Up to this day, it yields water, and there is some orchards around there. So these were some examples of the awqaf of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In terms of names, Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made waqf of his land in Yambu upon the fuqara, the masakin, the poor, the destitute, the needy, the wayfarers, and such people. In fact, I'd like to also discuss here a famous waqf, a family trust, which Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a famous Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had established. He has established a waqf, and the beneficiaries were his family members. But he had stipulated in the waqf that, look, my daughters will be family members until they get married. And if they are divorced or they are widowed, in other words, their husbands passed away, then they will become beneficiaries again of the waqf. And if they are married again, then they cease to be beneficiaries of the waqf. So he created this sort of flexibility even in the waqf. A waqf is a very, very flexible tool that can be that in which you can incorporate a large number of sharait. Of course, if any of the listeners are thinking of establishing a waqf, I would appeal to them to also pass it by some learned ulama in this field, so that it's not any and every condition that can be incorporated, but there is a lot of flexibility and many sort of conditions can be incorporated in a waqf. So that is just some of the examples during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes, now in terms of, we just have about 5 minutes left, Mufti Saab. Some of the famous awqaf that we have today that are found in present day?
In our times, some of the awqaf that you can see around us is, for example, the King Abdul Aziz waqf in Makkah Mukarramah. These huge towers that are there outside the haram, the clock tower which is referred to, that is a waqf. So the income that yields goes to the maintenance of the Haramain. It's called Waqf Malik Abdul Aziz Lil Haramain Sharifain. So the income, when you're paying your hotel bills over there, you are actually assisting in the payment, in contributing towards the maintenance of the Haramain. So that is a very, very famous Waqf that is there in our times. There is a hospital in Karachi which is called the Indus Hospital. This hospital is a paperless hospital. In other words, it's very advanced in the type of treatment that it gives people, but at the same time it's cashless. It's a cashless desk hospital. There's no cash desk that anyone can go and pay. It is run like how a waqf is run. In the previous times, there were awqaf. In the times of the Ottoman Empire, there were awqaf to look after newly married people, or there were awqaf to look after stray animals. Even there were awqaf to look after unwanted animals that had become old. So there was so much of flexibility and so many awqaf. A person could travel from Khorasan or from India for Hajj and by land, and the journey would take a number of weeks sometimes, but he didn't have to spend any money on accommodation on the way, because there were awqaf that people had established in terms of motels or inns, where people could come and the Hujjaj could come and spend the night there, right? So this was how much waqf benefited the general public and the people. It didn't only benefit the poor and needy. Even the wealthy could benefit from waqf, and at the same time, it would benefit those who were the original endowers of that waqf, because they continued to reap the rewards of this in the akhirat and in the hereafter, even after they were gone.
And then finally, Mufti Saab, in terms of our present day and reviving this institute, how do we go about bringing back the concept of waqf and reviving it in our present time?
What we can do is, if there are groups of people and individuals, we set up awqaf like this to fund our institutions, to look after ulama with various objectives you can have. To look after the poor and needy, to look after learned scholars, to look after animals, to look after various objectives we can have. What we need to do is we need to establish organizations or establish institutions of waqf, right? In the times of the past, we could only make waqf of things which were immovable, like property and so forth. Thereafter, the jurists even allowed us to do waqf for movable property, like furniture, like equipment, like these sort of things. Therefore, you would see in some masjids, this Quran is waqf. So movable items even could be made waqf. In our times, the fuqaha had even allowed us to do waqf of money, cash. Cash can even be made waqf. So my idea of this, and it's an idea that can be floated around, is that if we establish an institution of waqf, let us say, for example, let's use any institution. Set up a waqf. You create an institution, you register it, you create a waqf deed for that, and you allow people to contribute to that. So even if a person has 10 rands or 5 rands or 100 rands, he is able to contribute to that. This institution then can purchase something which is income generating or invest those funds in an income generating revenue for the benefit of the beneficiaries of that. And that person who contributed even 5 rands or 10 rands, in effect what he has done is that he has perpetuated his charity of 5 rands. Even after he is gone from this world and the dunya, inshallah, he will be able to benefit from the rewards that accrue to him, because he also contributed to that waqf. No matter how small it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at how small or large a contribution is. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at is the ikhlas. And it is a legacy of this ummah. In fact, many modern day, when I was doing research on this topic, many modern day universities are actually running on the principles of Islamic waqf. And therefore, if we revive the sunnah, I think there is a lot that can be achieved by the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards this and towards doing it correctly as well.
Mutisab, we're deeply appreciative that you've shared the valuable information with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to revive this concept so that the ummah can benefit from it. Jazakumullah khair for your valuable time on Radio Islam.
Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mufti Shafiq Jakura speaking to us about the concept of waqf from an Islamic perspective and the valuable benefit that can come from this if we are to tap into it, inshallah.